Good day, everyone. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Kathleen Kuhn. You may now begin.
Thank you, Leo. Welcome, everyone, to this Webfare Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Intelligent Management Plugin for Web Services and Webfare Application Server version 8.5.5. The presenters are Naveen Shetty and Chris Hutcherson. Naveen has been with IBM for the last 15 years. In the past, he used to be with Webfare Security and Webfare OEM support teams. In his current role, he provides level 2 support for IBM Edge, IBM HTTP Server, Web Server Plugin, WebSphere Java Proxy, WebSphere Intelligent Management, and Virtual Enterprise Components. He also supports the WebSphere Community Edition and IBM Open Source product. Chris is a Level 2 support engineer who works with the WAS IHS team. He has focused on supporting WebSphere Intelligent Management for a number of years. Also joining us on the speaker lines are Steve Fonce and Joe Bone, who are developers on the Intelligent Management team. They will be available during our Q&A session. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chris.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, let's go to slide 2. All right, for the agenda, we'll be discussing the legacy and history of how the WebSphere plugin has evolved. My colleague Naveen will also come in and explain the individual features in WebSphere Intelligent Management 8.5.5. And I will also wrap up with a brief overview on troubleshooting. And keep in mind, this presentation is limited to the classic WAS, so we're not really focusing on Liberty on this presentation. All right, go to slide 3. All right, so the Intelligent Management features in WAS 8.5 actually started as a separate product called IBM WebSphere Extended Deployment. It's a suite of products of three, actually. They first started off as an optimizations operation, which eventually became Virtual Enterprise and is now known as Intelligent Management in WAS 8.5. Business Grid, which became Compute Grid, and is now known as WebSphere Batch in WebSphere 8.5, and Data Grid, which became Object Grid, and is now known as WebSphere Extreme Scale, and it's a bundled product in 8.5. Previously, these components were purchased separately and be installed on top of WebSphere as a stack product, and you would have to augment your WebSphere profiles, be it your D-Manager and your application server profiles, in order to deploy the code that would be required for the features of each of these products to function. These products were eventually integrated in 8.5, at least the Intelligent Management and Batch products were. Extreme Scale was bundled as a with the WebSphere network deployment offering. In version 8.5.5, the Intelligent Management plugin for web servers was introduced. All right, we can go to slide 3. So here's a list of some of the features provided by Intelligent Management in 8.5. The on-demand router, more commonly known as the ODR, is an intelligent proxy that can be used as a front-end for WAS. It contains the Autonomic Request Flow Manager, also known as ARFM, for prioritizing inbound traffic, and it utilizes the on-demand configuration, also known as ODC, to know the state of the WAS servers and applications and route accordingly. The on-demand configuration is a dynamic list or tree that shows the status of the servers and applications in WAS. So when a server is stopped, the ODC is updated and intelligent management components such as the ODR and IAM plugin are automatically aware of that status change. IAM provides the ability to have multiple editions of the same application deployed at the same time via application editions. You can use the application edition routing rules to control which requests will be routed to each edition. Intelligent management also provides dynamic clusters, which provide the ability for clusters to dynamically scale out and shrink based on the need of the system at a given time. And that's based on input from the application placement controller, or also known as APC. Health management is also a another feature that is utilized. Basically gives you a way for monitoring certain system conditions, such as high CPU or high memory, and you can set specific steps to look into those and take action. And Naveen will tell us more about these and other features of IAM later in the presentation. All right, go to slide 5. So the web server plugin is software that runs on the web server tier to route requests to one or more WebSphere application servers. It provides load balancing, failover, and session affinity. The traditional web server plugin prior to 855 is not intelligent. It uses a static configuration known as the plugin cfg.xml. It only knows about the servers and applications defined in that config file. It is unaware of the actual status of the servers and applications in WAS. And when changes are made on the WAS side, you need to generate a new plugin config file and propagate it to the web server so that it will route to those new servers and applications. The scope of information included in the plugin config is based on the application modules that are mapped to the web server definition in WAS. If you have multiple WAS environments, you can generate a plugin config for each one and then merge them together using the plugin CFG merge tool. And this way you can have a single web server plugin routing request to multiple WAS environments. Next slide, slide 6. In WebSphere Virtual Enterprise, the routing of requests was performed by the on-demand router. The ODR does not use a static configuration. Instead, it uses the on-demand configuration. So unlike the traditional web server plugin, the ODR is aware of the status of app servers and applications in WAS. For example, if one of the cluster members had been stopped, the traditional web server plugin would not have been aware of that, and it would continue to attempting to connect to that stopped server or app server, resulting in error messages and retried attempts. On the other hand, the on-demand router would be aware of that the app server stopped and would automatically route the request to a different member of the cluster without any errors. The ODR works with the other features in Virtual Enterprise, such as ARFM, App Additions, and Health Management. The ODR is a specialized Java virtual machine, but it is not a web server. All right, next slide, slide 7. In order to get the benefits of a web server and still use the features of the ODR, it's possible to put a web server with plugin in front of the ODR. In this case, the plugin configuration is created by the ODR itself, not the deployment manager. And the plugin config contains only transports pointing to the ODRs. The load balancing, session affinity, and routing to application servers is performed by the ODRs. This type of setup is still possible in WAS 855, but is no longer needed because of the new Intelligent Management Web Server plugin. On slide 8. The Intelligent Management plugin combines the benefits of a web server with the features of the on-demand router. It uses the on-demand configuration on the WAS side, so it is aware of the status of app servers and applications in WAS. When changes are made on the WAS side, the plugin is automatically aware of those changes without the need to generate and propagate a new plugin config file. In order to retrieve the ODC information from WAS, the Intelligent Management plugin must be able to connect to the deployment manager and node agents on three ports. These ports are the overlay TCP listener address, the overlay UDP listener address, and the XD agent port. Next slide, slide 9. When Intelligent Management is enabled on the WebSphere plugin, routing information is not defined in the plugin. Instead, the plugin connects to the REST service to dynamically gather routing information for one or more of the WebSphere cells. This diagram is an overview of how Intelligent Management works for Apache and IHS. The IAM daemon process is a single, highly available process which starts automatically when IAM is enabled. Each child worker process connects to the IAM daemon process to get routing information. The IAM daemon connects to an IAM REST service via the XP agent port of the D manager and each node agent. The IAM daemon process connects to only one REST service at a time per cell. If the process that the daemon is connected to stops or fails, the daemon connects to another process that's hosting the REST service. A child worker process does not connect directly to the IAM REST service. Only the IAM daemon process connects to it. When IAM is enabled, the plugin CFG XML is populated with endpoint information for all XD agent ports for the D manager and for each node agent. The plugin requires the state to discover routing information in a highly available manner. And after the IAM daemon connects to an IAM REST service and retrieves the initial routing information for the cell, the daemon immediately issues another request, which blocks until a change that affects routing occurs. And this way, the plugin is immediately notified of configuration state, configuration or state changes, which are important for routing. Next, Naveen will discuss the intelligent management features in greater detail.
Slide 10.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you're calling in from. So in my part of the session, I'm going to discuss some of the new intelligent management features that are supported with in WebSphere Application Server 855 web server plugins. And they include automatic discovery of routing information, weighted least outstanding request load balancing, responding dynamically to changing server weights, support for certain health policies, per request conditional tracing, application edition routing rules, edition aware routing, edition aware caching, and node and server maintenance mode routing. I will discuss them in a little more detail in the upcoming slides. Slide 11, please. So before we go to the actual features, enabling the intelligent management feature is quite simple. You go to the administrative console, navigate to the servers, server types, web server panel. Next, you select the specific web server you want to enable IAM on and click on the intelligent management link. Then you check the enable checkbox to enable this feature. The plugin CFG.xml file needs to be generated and propagated in order for the changes to be picked up by the web server. And also, a web server restart is also required when intelligent management is first enabled. Going to slide 12, please. So this is what the plugin CFG.xml looks. It's got a different stanza than the regular classic plugin. So when the intelligent management feature is enabled, the plugin CFG.xml will contain this particular intelligent management element. So this element will contain the host and port information for each REST service to which the web server can connect in the cell. The REST service runs in the deployment manager and in all the node agents by default. The plugin connects to only one REST service at a time and will fail over to the other connectors when necessary. It is important to note that the generated plugin file may still contain vhost, server, app, cluster, URI, etc. informations, but will not be used for routing purposes. Going to slide 13, please. So this talks about automatic routing. So when the intelligent management feature is enabled, the plugin automatically discovers and recognizes all changes that affect routing. Example is a server or a cluster stop, start, create, or delete. Discoverable changes also include application install, start, stop, and uninstall. Virtual host updates, session affinity configuration changes, dynamic server weight changes, and so on are also examples of these changes. The plugin's ability to automatically discover and recognize changes that affect routing greatly reduces the administrative overhead. So when new clusters or servers are created in target cells, there is no need to generate and propagate the plugin CFG.xml anymore. No data related to servers and applications are stored in the plugin CFG.xml file when intelligent management is enabled. All changes are recognized dynamically. Going to slide 14, please. So we talk about application edition out here. The intelligent management function in the web server plugin allows the web server to route traffic to multiple editions of the same application. This application edition support lets you upgrade applications without any interruption to the users. Validation mode allows new versions of the application to be validated before sending the production traffic, sending production traffic to it. You can run multiple versions of the application simultaneously, and the routing rules can be configured to route requests to the appropriate edition of the application. Slide 15, please. So here, the pictorial shows it's a depiction of application edition caching. The edge-side include or ESI cache in the web server plugin is edition-aware. This means that the content for each edition of the application is stored separately in the cache. And when the cache receives requests, it responds with the contents from the appropriate edition of the application. Slide 16, please. So here's the console view of, configuring health policies. So you can configure health policies to recognize sick servers and specify the actions to be taken when the policy criteria are met. Excessive request timeout and excessive response times are the two typical health conditions we mostly use. You might specify actions such as restart the server or generate a heap dump or whatever else you deem necessary for that particular health condition. Slide 17, please. Pictorial shows a dynamic cluster configuration. So in WebSphere 855, I might just say WAS 855 for ease of saying it. So in WAS 855, the web server plugins can route requests to both static and dynamic clusters when intelligent management is enabled. Dynamic clustering provides server elasticity. The application placement controller can dynamically start and stop servers and call IBM Pure Application Systems to provision or deprovision servers in order to meet the current demand. The IAM functionality in the web server plugins automatically recognizes these updates and begins routing requests to the appropriate servers. Slide 18, please. So when a node or a server is placed into maintenance mode, the web server plugins automatically recognizes this and only routes requests with affinity to that node or server. All other requests are routed to nodes or servers that are in normal mode. Slide 19, please. Okay. We are on slide 19. You see three clouds, which depicts a typical multi-cell routing. Each cloud is a cell here, or a cluster of cells. So the intelligent management feature in the web server plugins support routing to applications in multiple cells. To enable this function, you specify the host and port of the remote REST service in the administrator console, which lets the plugins know about the remote cell. Once you have configured this, then requests that come to the web servers are automatically routed to the cluster or server in the cell that has the application installed. Routing to the same application deployed across multiple cells is not supported in the 855. Slide 20, please. So this is a console view for configuring or adding a remote cell in a multi-cell configuration. So it shows where to configure a remote cell under the intelligent management section of the web server in the administrative console. So you just need to specify the host and SOAP port of one of the processes on the remote cell, and the rest of the information about the remote cell is automatically detected. Slide 21, please. So here's a snippet of the plugin CFG XML file showing the new intelligent management stanza with the connector information for the REST services on the local and remote cells. So you'll see the name of the cell being different and the ports being different and also the host variable being different. Going to slide 22, please. So in the previous slide, you'll see one stanza for each connector element. So on slide 22, we talk about the weighted least outstanding request load balancing. So using the weighted least outstanding request load balancing policy helps even out the response times across the servers. dynamic workload management controller will dynamically adjust server weights when it detects that a server is responding slowly or is not responding at all. The web server plugins with intelligent management enables will with IAM enabled will recognize that the weights have changed and the route request to the appropriate server. So you have facilities, going to slide 23. So you have facilities, one of them being mod status. So you can use the web server name and URL for the web server and the server status app to view the information in the for that particular application. So the view is in JSON format so that it can be easily consumed by monitoring tools. Data contains information about application, statistics, status of servers and cluster, and the status of the connectors. So if you look closely at the small text out there, it has all the information I just mentioned. Go to slide 24, please. So here we talk about per-request conditional tracing. Per-request conditional tracing allows you to enable trace for requests that match a specified condition. This makes troubleshooting problems a lot simpler, as you can see. You can build an expression that defines when trace is collected and configure a hierarchical or a level-based trace to be enabled dynamically when the condition is met, instead of enabling trace for all the requests. Going to slide 25. So this pictorial shows depicts the HA capabilities of IAM. So the intelligent IAM feature in the web server plugin connects to a REST service that runs automatically when the WebSphere application server 855 deployment manager and node agents are started. This feature is available by default and does not require any additional installation or configuration. The plugin only needs to connect to one REST service per cell. If the connection to one service fails, the plugin will automatically fail over and connect to one of the other available REST services in that cell. Going to slide 26. So some of the features not supported, some of the original ODR features not supported by IAM plugin. ODR routing rules, processor and memory overload protection, request prioritization, HA deployment manager, and lazy start for dynamic clusters. Dynamic clusters are supported, though. Slide 27, please. So here I have, it's a table for your reference comparing features available on Java ODR versus plugin and full VAS versus plugin and Liberty profile. I just put it out there for your reference. So in summary, I would like to, summarize with there are new intelligent management capabilities in web server plugins for WebSphere Application Server 855 for IBM HTTP Server as well as Apache Server. Most functions that are provided by the Java ODR are now supported by the web server plugins. There are some additional features like security, URL rewriting, the plugin API that are offered by the web server plugins and not by the Java ODR. So as a result, this eliminates the need for the Java ODR and the on-demand router tier itself. This reduces your overall cost because you have one less tier to configure, tune, and manage, and it simplifies your topology and troubleshooting effort. So with that, I'd like to hand over to Chris for the ending part of the session, which is on troubleshooting. Chris?
All right. Thank you very much, Naveen. Let's go to slide 28, please. Okay, so these first couple of slides are just going to kind of go through the basic must-gather steps on what we ask for routing issues that are what you'll most commonly see with the IAM plugin. So the first slide here is more tailored towards setting the log level to trace for kind of the base plugin, the base WebSphere plugin trace facility. And you would do that via the WAS admin console, going to servers, to server types, to web servers, the name of your web server, click that link, click on plugin properties, and in the plugin logging section, you would set log level to trace. And you can see right there in the graphic where you would do it. And we can go to slide 29. All right, this slide will detail setting the trace for the Intelligent Management plugin itself. In the WASM Admin console, go to servers, server types, web servers, the name of your web server, click on the Intelligent Management link on the right side of the screen, click on trace specification, and in the first box at the top, you would enter colon debug. All right, and then go to slide 30. Okay, so that's the tracing for the plugin side. Excuse me. So we also ask you to take some tracing on the web server side as well, more specifically on the REST server. I guess I should also mention that we also, I'll just go through real quickly. So the ODC trace, you would take that on the REST server that the plugin is connected to. You put in that string that's there in the presentation. You would provide the dump IMP state output that would give us the ODC tree. And if you're familiar, if you've had any experience with IM and the ODR before, if you've had to work with issues with that component, you'll know that a commonly requested feature is the target XML. We don't ask for that here usually because if you're asking for target XML, it requires you to set the ODC trace at server startup. And when you do that, it will mean that the connected REST service will jump to another available server. So it's just to go ahead and get the ODC tree while the server service is running and with the trace running. It's basically just the target.xml output. On the web server, the server status output is what we would request. And it's really easy to get as long as you have the mod status enabled that Naveen touched on earlier. You would put that URL in the in your browser on your web server box. And the server status output is basically the same sort of similar information that you would find from the ODC. It's what the plugin, the IM plugin, relies on for its routing information as well. All right, and once you've done all that, provide all plugin logs, the plugin cfg.xml, the server status output from the plugin side, and from the WAS side, provide the dump IMP state output, the server logs folder, and the FFDC log folder from the connected REST server. And just as good practice, it's always good to just go ahead and send us the entire logs folder. That way we have all of those system logs and whatnot. It's much easier to grab those and to just kind of pick and choose, like just the tracer, system out, and whatnot. So just as a tip. Okay, slide 31, please. Okay, so 503s are a type of error you'll see through the IM plugin. Stated, it is crucial that we have all the information from the MustGather to look into these issues. These are usually seen because IM will see that there's an app that will match the URI that has come in from the request, but it cannot route the request for whatever reason. It could potentially be that it sees that there's an app available, but the server is not able to service it. Maybe it's stopped or whatnot. Investigating these issues requires reviewing the trace, but also the server status to correlate the URI with the routing information that IM has available from that output. The dump IMP state output from the REST service is also required. The server status will reflect the information of the ODC tree from the dump IMP state, as I mentioned before. So it's important to make sure that the information is mirrored and that there's no issue with the REST service updating the IM plugin. All right, go to slide 30K, please. Okay, here's just a snippet of a 503 that you might find in the HTTP plugin. One thing to note, the ODR colon debug statements, those are the result of you setting colon debug for the IAM trace. So those are all that are logged via the IAM plugin tracing. So this one stating that no server was found that would serve the URI. One thing to also be sure to look out for are network connectivity issues, GS kit errors, or any other issues that you know you may see in the log at the time that the errors are happening. Okay, go to slide 33, please. Okay, here's an example of a server status output. So for this specific example, we see that server one, we're assuming that server one is the only server in the cell that will service requests. And it has an application, F1, to it, but the server is stopped. So in this situation, the plugin will return a 503 because it sees that there is an application that will match the URI, but it the server is not started, so it doesn't have a way to get the request to it. Okay, go to slide 34, please. 404s, we also need the IAM for web servers must gather to debug these issues. Most of the time, 404s are the result of virtual host issues, almost all the time. So it's highly recommended when you see those being logged to make sure that all your virtual hosts and ports are properly configured. It'll save a lot of time. Review the server status output to make sure that the applications and app server information is probably recognized by intelligent management. And if they're not, check the dump IMP state on the REST server to compare ODC with what the plugin sees. So basically, you want to check and make sure that the that the application information and server information is there on both sides of the app server and plugin. It could be that there is a connectivity issue. Maybe a network blip could have caused the connectivity to be severed. And sometimes when that happens, ODC ends up only seeing itself. Basically, when I say itself, I mean the server that it's on. So it's happened before where if you do a dump IMP state output, it'll show only the server that you run it on. So it's a good idea to check on that and see what kind of output you get from that. Okay, go to slide 35, please. All right. In summary, the Intelligent Management plugin for web servers brings features of the ODR to the web server. While not all functionality is available at this time, the ability to route requests to the application editions and multiple cells and more is available at this time. Using the IAM plugin MustGather, you can get started with investigating routing issues and collecting the documentation needed for IBM support to help you resolve those issues. And go to slide 36. There's a couple of reference links. The first one is basically a jumpstart page for the IAM for web servers. You can, if you want to read up some more on it and some of its features, you can do so there. And the second link is the web IAM plugin MustGather. So you can go to that link and it'll walk you through the steps that I mentioned before earlier in the presentation. And I'll throw it back to Kathy.
Thank you, Naveen and Chris, for this presentation.
The first question is coming from Anthony.
My question is, it appears based on what I've seen that your your whole line of servers, deployment managers, and node agents have to be up in order for this to work. With the existing IHS setup, you can have your deployment manager down and your node agents down, and it still routes requests. If I'm not mistaken, based on this topology, the node agent and deployment manager all have to be up as well as the JVM, otherwise you're going to get a 403. Is that correct?
You want me to answer that one? This is Steve.
Sure, Steve.
So, no, that's not correct. Basically, the D managers and the node agents are for delivering routing information. Once the plugin has that information, it can route. It won't get changes. So, for example, if a new server is added, if the D manager and all node agents are down, then we won't know about that new server. But it will have whatever was delivered last and continue to route even if all the node agents and D manager are not available. So those, at least one has to be available initially to get the initial routing information, and one would have to be available if any routing information changes. But the current routing information can be used as is with no connections to it, you know, if D manager all node agents are down. And initially, they don't even have to all be up. Just one of them has to be up.
Okay. So bottom line is you have to have full connectivity for it to get all of its information. Once that's there, then should there be a node agent down or issues with a node agent or a deployment manager, it won't matter in that regard, correct?
That's correct, yes. It will still be able to route using the information it has.
Okay, and then the second question relates to the what would happen in this case. Let's say you've got a JVM that is, let's say you've got a topology that's got a cluster, and there's two independent servers that are running one JVM apiece. So those two servers are hosting the application, and one of them, and I'm just using this as an example, let's say one of them has an out-of-memory condition and you're not utilizing your dynamic building of another JVM issue. In that case, would the request get routed to a JVM that's unavailable? And the only reason I say that is because in the current way things work, if a JVM runs out of memory, it's, from the node agent's perspective, it's still in a running state, but it's unusable. And as a result of it, every person that goes to that particular JVM is going to get an error page, and then the next person's going to go to the other JVM, which happens to be okay. So 50% of your workers are going to be able to get to the site, and the other 50 are going to get a error because the JVM is unreachable and unusable.
Yeah, so you still have the problem that JVM appears to be up but cannot process requests.
Uh-huh.
But it won't necessarily get 50% of the traffic, but because we use a weighted least outstanding requests algorithm, so
uh-huh.
as more requests back up on there, we'll use it less and less, and more will go to the good server, but it will still get requests.
Okay. And if you had the and I forgot exactly what it's called, but the component where it actually, and I'm guessing that may be what you're referring to, the piece where it says, hey, this guy needs less weight because he's not processing requests, then that component is the one that would send less than 50% to that server because he's, I'll use the term, not processing as quickly, correct?
Right. That's the plugin. That's the thing we've been talking about here. The plugin would make that decision and say how many are available on each one. That guy's got more, so send more to the other guy.
Okay. And then the last question I have is, we have some situations where, as an example, we have one application that runs as part of a cluster, and there's two JVMs that are web accessible and one that is not web accessible. And the reason for that is that third JVM runs batch only, and so we don't want online users to be able to utilize the batch server because it would cause issues with response time and whatnot. So we have it as part of the cluster, but that third JVM is a batch only. With that being said, he's the plugin, every time it gets generated, gets modified to not make that guy web accessible. With this type of technology being available, is that still going to work, or is that just not going to work in this situation?
Off the top of my head, I can't see how that would work, because we're just saying, where is this app running? Dynamically say, this is where you can route to. There's no intermediate step where you can modify what we're delivering and saying, don't deliver this guy as part of that cluster.
I don't
see an easy way to make that work.
That's what I was thinking, and the bad part about that is that you don't have the ability to deploy the same app to a cluster and a non-clustered member, so you can't set it out on his own JVM. So, okay, that's what I needed answered. Thanks for your time.
So I have a question for you. So in your previous current setup, are the URLs to the batch application the same as the other cluster JVMs?
What we do is I wrote a script that goes through whenever the plugin gets modified. The script goes through and it actually removes that third JVM from it so that it is no longer part of the plugin config. And as a result of it, no things get routed to it. However, from a WebSphere perspective, WebSphere can still deploy to it because the plugin config is not utilized during code promotion, the deployment, whatever you want to call it, aspects. So it's still seen as a live server, and we still get the server status and whatnot, but from a web routing perspective, it only routes to server 1 and server 2.
Right. So for JAP batch processing purposes, you bypass the web server and plugin and go directly to the web container port.
The batch server is never accessed online, and what I mean by that is he is just that. He's a batch server. He has jobs that he runs at specific times during the day, and as a result of it, there's no interaction with him needed. He sits out there, and he's got WebSphere MQ configured, and then what we do is we send a message to a queue that says, okay, run this job. And so when he receives that message, which the application would do the same on all three JVMs, but we only want it to run on that one JVM. So we have all the listeners stopped for the online JVMs, and then we start that listener on the batch JVM, and then he processes his batch deal, so there's no need for any web interaction.
Right, but the request comes directly to the web container port, right, bypassing the IHS and plugin.
He's never, there is no connectivity ever to him. That's why he's, I'll use the term, not web accessible.
Okay.
What we do is we have a bunch of scripts set up, and we have the listeners all started on the batch JVM, and all of the listeners, therefore, when a message arrives, he says, okay, what do you want me to do? And based on whatever the job it is that's supposed to run on that guy, he actually will run that job. Then he's the only one of the three that are connected to MQ that can actually do any batch processing. So a script is run that says, put this message on the queue via MQ, and when he gets that, then the JVM on the batch JVM actually picks up that message and runs the batch job. So there's no interaction with that guy other than through batch. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So to do justice to this, maybe we can take this offline, or maybe open a PMR. We can address your concerns if possible.
This is Joe. Just one possible quick parting thought on that question, though. One of the features that was mentioned earlier is called maintenance mode. And if you put a server in maintenance mode, then from a routing perspective, we will not route to that server anymore. But for your batch purposes, it could still function as you had described. So that's one option there.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
If you want to get a hold of the speakers on slide one of the presentation, is a link to their email address.
We have one more question on queue coming from Mr. Mitchell. Your line is now open, sir.
My question is now, I understand that with this intelligent management enabled HTTP server, the audio kind of becomes really not very relevant. I mean, functionally, right? So between the two options, what would be your future directions, actually? Is there a plan to kind of replace the ODR with this approach, or they're going to coexist? Or
right now, the ODR, the Java-based ODR, is stabilized, so we're not planning to add any new functionality to it. The strategic direction is with the IM plugin. I believe we're going to be adding in. We're looking to add in the features from the Java-based ODR to the plugin over time.
Okay. So if we are looking at, let's say, a scenario where actually I have something specific in mind. We have an application which is currently on WebSphere 7. There is a good chance that we will migrate it to WebSphere 8, and we were looking in terms of using ODR to make some of these things more flexible. So would you suggest that we look at the intelligent management enabled HTTP instead of the ODR?
I think it depends on what your use cases are right now. Because, you know, as mentioned, like right now we do have the Java ODR does support more functionality. If you're interested in the request prioritization that ARFM brings, I'm not sure if you're too familiar with all the advantages, you know, the differences. But so the request prioritization is not supported in the IM plugin at this point. So depending on if you're looking to do something relatively soon, that may be something you're looking into. You want to explore based on that. It's kind of tough to make a recommendation. It's really based on what kind of functions you like to leverage.
Okay. We don't use the dynamic clustering, actually. It's all static clusters. And what I'm really interested in is to see if we can take advantage of the IAM ability to detect, automatically changes to the plugin information. Like, you know, we sometimes take down cluster members and we change weights dynamically because it's a complicated situation for us.
Yeah, that would definitely work for your use case then.
And does it support all the web servers that WebSphere supports, or is it limited to Apache and IBM HTTP?
It's limited to only Apache and IBM HTTP server at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So the first question that we have here in the chat is from Alan. When using multiple cells, do all the cells D-Manager sync or have knowledge of the IM, or is it just one D-Manager a master?
So as Joe mentioned in the chat, the IM component talks to each cell through the REST services and gets the routing information for each cell.
Just to clarify, too, I think Alan's core question was how does he configure that, and on the panel that you enable intelligent management, there's a space to specify remote cells. So you're enabling it from one particular cell on that D manager. Also can reference additional deployment managers or for remote cells that you want to get configuration data from.
The next question from Peter is IAM only working for Apache/IHS? And a follow-up to that was, does IAM work for Oracle iPlanet Web Server?
Let me just answer that real quick, because I think I answered it last. It appears to be clear. IAM function is a lot of things, and you can use the Intelligent Management plugin for routing, and that plugin is only supported on IHS and Apache or DataPower. But you can get the same function with a Java ODR, and that will work with all of the supported web servers that WebSphere supports. So two ways to get IAM function, one through the Java ODR, one through the plugin. the plugin is only supported on IHS, Apache, and Data Power, but the function is supported in all of the web servers if you use the Java ODR.
The next question is from Venkatar. As a fallback mechanism, do the plugin config.xml contain older mechanisms, or is it only contain the connector details?
Okay, so I answered that in the chat. I can answer it here. So the plugin file that gets generated may contain all of the vhosts and URIs and cluster information in it, but if it has intelligent management enabled, all of that information is ignored. So once you have added the intelligent management stanza, none of the information will be read. So you can't use it as a backup. I mean, you could use it as a backup in the sense that if you disabled intelligent management, it would then read the original stuff. But once intelligent management is enabled, the original information is not used at all.
The next question from Peter. Please confirm that ODR is also working with Data Power Appliance.
Yeah, intelligent management plugin version of the ODR works with Data Power. So with the same limitations that we said, you know, doesn't support everything that the Java ODR does. We're expecting to, add more function as time goes on, but the Data Power version is the same as a plugin version, so it's not as completely functional as the Java ODR, but it is supported by Data Power.
Another question from Venkatar, and I don't know if it's a follow-up to the previous one, but it says, will it mention the primary server or default to first available node? Can we define the wait age?
Okay, so I assumed Venkatar was talking about our REST connections to the DMANAGER node agents, and you cannot define those with any preferred method there. We will pick one and use it. They're there for failover. So if you try to get to a DMANAGER and that DMANAGER is not up, we'll fail over to a node agent. But there's no way for you to specify that ordering or preference for which ones we should use.
The next question from Vijay. We have Microsoft LLS for our web server. How do we manage IM with LLS?
Yes, that's part of the previous answer with IIS. it is only, if you want to use that as your web server, then you would be pointing to a Java ODR. You cannot install the plugin version of the ODR into IIS. So if IIS is a requirement for you as your web server, then your topology would include a Java ODR to get intelligent management function.
Vicky has the next question. Can you use IM without ODR?
In some cases, I mean, health management doesn't require an ODR. You can watch for, there's some things, some features of intelligent management that don't use an ODR. Probably the only one that would be of any value would be health management. Most of the other functions, like intelligent routing, needs an ODR. Dynamic clustering doesn't need an ODR, but it would be very cumbersome to make anything work without it. So the only one I can think of would be health management as an IM function does not require an ODR, but they all benefit from the use of one.
Just one point of clarity on that too. Sometimes there's some confusion because there's actually a component that you start that's called the Java ODR. If we're talking about it from a functional perspective, the capability for on-demand router is also provided in the plugin. So I think what Steve was answering was talking about what functionality you would have, provided you have the on-demand routing function either in the plugin or in a Java ODR. But if you're using the plugin, the intelligent management-enabled plugin, you do not need to have a Java ODR in your configuration. And I wanted to give Steve a chance for rebuttal in case I've muddled the question.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, depending on how you look at it, is an ODR required? For most things, yes. Is a Java ODR required? No, as long as you're using the plugin ODR.
All right, the next question from Peter. So iPlanet/IIS can use the normal plugin and route it to the Java ODR?
Yes, that's true.
Is Java ODR same as what we call an ODR cell?
Yeah. If you're referring to an ODR cell, it sounds like you probably have a multi-cell environment where there is a center cell of ODRs, and that center cell will route to point cells, which will just be the separate cells of applications, servers, and whatnot. So, yeah, the Java ODR is the the regular ODR that runs in a WebSphere cell environment. The IAM plugin is what will run on the IHS or Apache web server.
All right, Leo, did anything come in on the lines?
Yes, we have one on queue over the phone. That's coming from Mr. Bob O'Hanlon. Your line is now open, sir.
Hi, guys. Forgive me if I missed this covered earlier, but I joined late. If I'm going from a Java ODR and I want to just simply change the configuration to use the plugin, is it a case of me just going into the HTTP server configuration, enabling the plugin from there, and then check in the propagate and automatically generate the plugin config from there? Is it that simple?
Yes, it is. As long as the web server is defined, it's as simple. Going through the admin console and check the enable IAM checkbox. And for all practical purposes, your intelligent management plugin is enabled. And you have to regenerate and propagate the plugin ch.xml. And the first time you enable IAM, you have to restart the web server.
Right, okay, just the web server. Yep. Okay, one more question, and this might be go back to the ODR piece a little bit. If you make any config changes to the ODR and the plugin config XML that's used by that, is there a mechanism of auto-generating it? We're just talking about using the Java ODR now. How does it get updated? Like for an HTTP server only. So in this scenario, you use an HTTP server ODR talking to a web cell. So if you say, for example, have auto-generate the plugin, it would overwrite that plugin that's configured for the Java ODR. And I was assuming that to get around to that, you switch off or you disable the propagate option and auto-generate option. But I was wondering, in that scenario, how do you update the plugin config XML for the ODR?
For the ODR, it's got its own. So for the ODR, it has its own ODR generated plugin. And when you utilize that, I believe you go about and disable the normal plugin, or at the very least, you don't propagate it. You don't configure it to propagate, but you can configure that ODR generated plugin to propagate automatically when there's any sort of config change, such as like an ODR may be stopped, or maybe an ODR gets added or whatnot.
So okay. I'm not quite sure what topology you're looking at there. Are you using intelligent management from the Java ODR, or do you want to use...
Yeah, no, so I'm talking about, so I might be confused. So it's from the Java ODR. So for example, that I was looking on how I would propagate that plugin config XML over to the IBM HTTP server.
Yeah, so...
So when the original configuration was done, it was just manually copied as per Knowledge Center. But then, you know, the HTTP, if you're just using, say, for example, if you're just using a straight HTTP server to a WSL connection, no ODR, you've got the auto-generate and propagate options. But when you've got an ODR, if you have those enabled, I'd assume it would overwrite the plugin config XML that you've generated as part of ODR using ODR. Do you see what I mean? Am I clear?
Yeah, there's a whole mechanism for generating the plugins that points to ODRs, and there's a service that does that, and you... have a script that you can supply that will propagate it for you. So you basically have to turn off all the other mechanisms for generating and enable this service to generate it for you instead. And then if you want to auto-propagate it, you have to write the script that does that.
Right, okay. Is that in the Knowledge Center?
That's in the Knowledge Center, yeah.
Excellent. Ideal. Thanks very much, guys. That's it.
Yeah, no problem.
We have one more coming in at the group chat from Vicky. If you enable IAM, Gen Pop plugin, restart web server, do you need to restart all of the app servers as well?
No. It's just what you described. You propagate that plugin, you restart the web server, and then it establishes that connection with the REST service. Thing to kind of keep in mind is, so it's utilizing the ODC information, which is the server and application kind of in-memory configuration, and that exists in every server process. So what the REST service does is it gets that information from ODC and it communicates it with the web server with the IAM plugin. And so we'll have that server information that way.
And then Peter has a question. Should an ODR be created on a separate node agent?
I don't think that it needs to be. I'm not sure if it's best practice to do that. What do you think, Steve and Joe?
In general, if you can afford it, that's a good idea. You don't know how busy the ODR is going to get and how much memory and CPU it's going to use, so having a place to run by itself is good. In smaller environments, customers put them sometimes on the same node as their D manager. You probably don't want it on the same node as your app servers because it uses resources that your app server would need to handle requests. So it's a good practice, but not a requirement.
At this time, we have no more questions. We will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you, Naveen and Chris, for presenting and doing the Q&A session, and also for Steve and Joe for joining us from development. You added an awful lot to our Q&A session, and we truly appreciate you joining us today. You all have a great day, and thank you.